Treasury Star Parade. Produced by William A. Bajor with Henry Hull, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and Miss Jane Cowell in Violet Atkins' stirring drama, The Silent Women. All of the situations in this drama were taken from the record.
This is Henry Hull, ladies and gentlemen. If you will bear with me for a moment, I should like you to think of a picture. A simple picture of such stark realism that it speaks most eloquently without words. In the Vogue magazine of April, there is such a picture. My wife and I cried when we saw it. It is a picture of one of the silent women of Europe, an unnamed woman sitting on the dock of a small city somewhere on the continent, her face hidden in her hands. With shoulders bowed, she sits there, alone, silent, her small, pitiful belongings beside her. She is waiting, waiting for the ship that will take her away from the land that had been her home. And all the grief of all the silent women of all the world is in that tortured figure. How can I paint that picture more vividly to you? It forces itself off the page and becomes a living indictment against that world of today across the seas. Miss Jane Cowell is here with us today. Keep that picture in your mind's eye as she speaks for all the silent women of the world.
From China, Russia, Poland, Austria, France, Greece. From every land where men are dying and have died. Where children have fled like small hunted animals. From dark caves where babies are born while bombs shatter homes into rubble. The voices of the silent women cry out to be heard. Oceans separate us, but the journey of the human spirit can be swift as the movement of my hand. As I turn the first page of the book in which the history of our day is being written, in blood and sweat and tears. We turn again to the picture Mr. Hull drew for you. The bowed head lifts. In that face, in the eyes sunk deep in wells of silent sorrow, the tragedy of all the women of Europe is mirrored. She might be a woman of Poland, huddled by the side of the road, or a Greek mother with a child lying emaciated and still in her arms, or a woman of 60 who looks at us out of the stricken eyes of China, or a woman of France, prostrate France. Who shall speak for these? Out of a concentration camp, one woman's husband writes,
"From this immense sea of sand, which is constantly swept by the simoon, this territory of inexpressible pain, I take the liberty of writing this letter. It may never reach you, but if it does, hear my cry of despair. Acute hunger, physical misery, moral degradation have not yet broken my spirit. But my wife, my beloved wife, has contracted tuberculosis here. And this I cannot, I will not bear. No medical aid is given her. And the sea washes in at night across our platform where she lies in heroic, unprotesting silence on the boards."
Heroic, unprotesting silence. Yet she might have spoken thus.
"My husband, I am not afraid to die. I'm afraid only of adding to your pain, of making this death in life more unendurable by crying out. Silence is easier for you, for both of us. You will suffer less when I'm gone, if you have no anguished words of mine to remember."
But she did not speak. Only one French mother broke that national heroic silence of millions of French women whose husbands are still prisoners of war in Germany. Hear her letter to Admiral Darlan.
"French blood is flowing in Syria. Frenchmen are ordered to fight against their former ally and against the French. Your noble career, Admiral Darlan, is stained with French blood. Men can forgive their executioners. Christ has been a living example of this. But they cannot collaborate with them as you have got to collaborate with the Germans. We will not!
One voice out of millions that are silent. Perhaps it will not speak again, for Hitler has ways of silencing those voices he doesn't wish to hear. But he cannot silence the whimpering voice of a wounded Greek child in a hospital in Argos.
Mama.
For God's sake, get a mother for her, will you? Get a nurse, get somebody. I can't stand that sound anymore.
We can't get her mother or anybody belonging to her. There's nothing left in the town of Argos but rubble and the dead. The whole family was snuffed out in the raid. All except this one.
Do I hear you ask, what do the women of Germany say about all this? Well, Hitler has silenced the women of Germany, too. Has even ordered them not to weep for their own dead. But a solid block of human flesh and blood, they stand shoulder to shoulder in front of the trains that would take their men to Russia and useless slaughter. What would they say if they found a voice out of their despair?
You will not take our men back to hell unless you go over our bodies to do it. You will not take our boys. Look at them. 16... 17, 18, with the beards still young on their faces. We know what will happen there in Russia.
Perhaps the man who had his hand on the lever shut his eyes as he touched it, but he knew Hitler must be obeyed. That train must go to Russia. Did those women weep as they fell back before the remorseless engine? Did the men in the train shout warnings and pleas? Who knows? The women are silent, and their men lie dead in Russia. Across the great wastes of Russia sweeps the silence of her women. Hear the defiant silence of a young Russian girl who left high school when Hitler invaded Russia to join a band of guerrillas and become their leader. Before the Germans caught her, Zoya had disrupted field telephones over an important area, fired a German barracks, destroyed a 20-horse enemy stable. But she was caught, and for hours her captors tried to make her talk, to make her tell where her comrades were hiding.
Oh, Sensei, what was the disease? Tell us where they are and you shall go free. That is where they are, you shall die. Sergeants, where are they hiding?
Silence. They flogged her with a leather belt. They held lighted matches to her chin. They scraped a saw across her back. And they walked her at bayonet point, barefoot through the snow, for hours. But still she refused to speak a single word. Then they marched her off to a gallows in the village of Petrusheva. And all of the villagers still alive and able to crawl or walk were herded in to see her die.
They stand Zoya on a box, put a noose around her neck. A soldier fumbles with a gag tied across her mouth. It interferes with the rope. The officer in charge is impatient. A second black-uniformed officer with a camera steps up to him. He's asking permission to take pictures for the Gestapo records, no doubt. The commandant shrugs assent. The soldier finally gets the gag undone.
Comrades! Comrades, hear me! Do not grieve! I am happy to die! Do as I have done! Kill them! Destroy them! Burn them!
You with the camera! Hurry up!
You hang me now! But I am not alone. There are 200 million of us. You can't hang us all.
Hurry, you fool.
You German soldiers, surrender. Surrender before it is too late. Victory will be ours. Victory! Victory!
One voice stops, and a million others speak. One body dies, and countless others rise. One heart stops beating, and a million go on, stronger. Listen to the voice of an old woman of Nanking after the last bomb had been dropped and the dead were left to the living.
Old mother, come away. It does no good to stay.
I know. They are all dead. All who belong to me. My daughter there. Her sons, all three. See, this one was 8. This 10. This one, 15. They will not breathe again, nor speak, nor walk, nor run. But I shall do all the things they would have done. 1,000 men shall take the place of each, and I shall teach how they must harry those who murdered these. We will live in marshes, swamps, trees, where the nightingale sang before the bombs came.
And these things came to pass. 30,000 men she trained. 30,000 men came at the beckoning of a 60-year-old Chinese woman. These became her voice.
They cannot stop us, and one day they will no longer try.
We will be the air they breathe,
the sod they walk on, the silent voices they cannot hear.
The echo of our footsteps in the night will be their blight.
We will be all about them, and one day we will strangle them with the dust of those whom they strangled.
For we are the voices of the dead they slaughtered, the women they enslaved, the children driven mad.
We are the guerrilla fighters, the anti-quislings, the invisible army marching from the English Channel to the Russian front.
From Narvik to Athens, Yugoslavia,
Greece.
How many of you are one of these who lie here dead?
I.
All of you silent, suffering women of Europe, in whose womb has so long rested the silence of grief. Your voices shall be reborn. Yours was a good world before Hitler came. A world of men and women and children. Families bound together with all the good ties. The dark history of this time is but a moment which shall pass in its darkness. And light will come again.
Thank you, Miss Jane Cowell. And you, over there, you dictators, if you can hear our voice, know this. Our war bonds and war saving stamps converted into machine guns, bullets, high explosives, cannon, airplane motors, tanks, all these will speak for those silent women. People of America, remember your pledge. Meet your war bond quota call. Your call is to invest at least 10% of your total income from whatever source, salary, rents, dividends, or interest on investments in United States war savings bonds. At least 10%, more if possible. Remember, every dollar you invest in United States war savings bonds, you are investing in the future of America. This is your country. Keep it yours.